Welcome to the Holistic Health Podcast, where we delve into topics that bridge wellness and science for the skin, gut, mind, body, and soul. This podcast is brought to you by Gvome, where we believe that each of us has a unique ecosystem and path to reach our full vitality.
I'm your host, Dr. Raja Sivamani, an integrative physician and an Ayurvedic practitioner. Gvome is the notion that our jiva, the Sanskrit word for vitality and the essence of life, merges with our many ecosystems that compose our biome to form our unique jivome. This podcast is meant for educational and informational purposes only. None of the information presented here are a substitute for professional medical care, and this podcast does not constitute medical advice. If you have a medical concern, please consult with your physician. Welcome, everyone. So today we are talking about energy medicine and approaches to how you actually can maybe channel the energies that naturally are part of our physiology. I'm really excited to talk to Ellen Meredith, who is an energy medicine practitioner, and she has been an intuitive and energy medicine practitioner for over 35 years, has had a lot of experience, and we were just chatting before we started here that she's also involved in teaching as well. So Ellen, I'm really excited to talk to you, and I feel like there's so many overlaps with Ayurvedic medicine, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Raja. Absolutely. I mean, Ayurvedic medicine is a form of energy medicine in my mind.
Yes, it is. I mean, I think that energy medicine is a form of all medicine in many ways. But can you tell us a little bit about, just give a background to what you do? What are the kind of approaches that you take that might be different than what, say, someone that goes to a conventional practitioner might end up experiencing?
The approach I have to energy medicine is focused on helping yourself or self-healing. So when someone works with me, it's part education and part helping to relieve symptoms. But I do the energy medicine we do together, the therapeutic things we do together is all in the interest of teaching people what they can do for themselves. I'm linked with a tradition founded by Donna Eden, Eden Energy Medicine or Eden Method, that is also very much focused on self-help. And there's certain things a practitioner can do for you that you can't do for yourself, like reach certain places on the back. But the goal in all of my work is to help people find their truth, help people find who they are, what they can do, how to work with their own instrument, how to care for themselves and beyond care, because care sounds like a bunch of prescriptions for what you need to do. It's how do you enter into real partnership and dialogue with your body, mind, and spirit so that it becomes a creative, everyday conversation rather than something you only look at when you are sick.
I love what you're talking about here. And just to kind of lay a little groundwork, and I know you've mentioned this in other areas when you talk about energy medicine, we have many other practices that utilize energy as part of daily routine, don't we, around us? You talk about things like yoga or acupuncture. Can you just expand on that a little bit about how prevalent forms of energy-based healing are around us?
Okay, well, there are a lot, and a lot of them are really interesting and exciting. You have acupressure and acupuncture. You have Reiki and traditions that move energy. You have forms of meditation and yoga. You have, you know, things like Eden Energy Medicine that are formalized approaches that pull from many traditions. You have native or aboriginal healing traditions. Ayurvedic is very big and old and well time tested, as is traditional Chinese medicine. But beyond all those modalities, what I try to do in the book is dive beneath the modalities to say, you know, they each are wonderful. They're beautiful, but there's a big learning curve. If you want to learn Ayurvedic medicine, there's a lot of learning that goes on, or any of these modalities. But if I want to help myself right now, and I don't know anything about energy, what can I do in this moment? Can we dive underneath the jargon or the formulas from different modalities to find that source code? Because I believe that the language that the body speaks is energy. The body, mind, and spirit are communicating with themselves all the time under the surface of our awareness using energy. So if we can dip into that conversation and participate, and if we can speak energy, we can speak to the body in its own language, we can influence what's happening physically, emotionally, even in terms of how our relationships are going or things in our lives, because we're all made of energy. You know, the body's formed by energy. Even science agrees we're a mass of moving, swirling energies. we're also fueled by energy. You know, if you talk to someone who's really excited about something, you come away energized, right?
That's true.
And if you talk to someone who's really depressed and down, you come away deflated often, because we're very influenced or and fueled or drained by what we can say in everyday life is energy. And most people have a kind of pragmatic definition of energy. It's that thing that fuels you. It's that thing that animates you. Energy also organizes how the body functions. And in that sense, energy medicine also works with how can I get my body's energies organized to feed my different organs, to communicate with each other, to ground to the environment and to the planet, to protect my energies from someone else's energies. All of these kind of tasks that need to happen to stay whole and healthy, they can be looked at in energetic terms. And in terms of, if this is a language, and if you can understand me, you are already fluent in a language, then how can I learn this language and use it for myself moment by moment to dialogue with my own being?
One of the important aspects of energy is that it really comes in many different forms. And I love how you're talking about energy not just being perhaps the food that we eat. I think that's something that many people can quickly understand and pick up, that, you know, food that you put in your body really is to help create energy for your body to then function. And we speak about this in Ayurvedic medicine too. There are so many ways that you can digest what's around you and experience what's around you. So I feel like you're really tapping into going beyond just food, but things that you see or the conversations that you have with other people or experiences that you have with your surroundings, or if you see an image, you talk about all of these things. And you mentioned your book, and I just want to have you talk about your book for a second. You've written a book called The Language Your Body Speaks. So can you give us a little background to what is the message that you'd like to get across in your book, and how do you think people can really gain impact from it?
Okay. Well, I want to say also the subtitle is Self-Healing with Energy Medicine. It's both of those. And what I want people to get from my book is a total immersion experience in just learning to speak energy. But it's not a foreign language. It's actually our first language. We come in as infants having a lot of attunement to energies, and we have to train our minds, or our minds get trained to interpret. Well, you know, I play with this round, bouncy thing that adults call a ball, but long before I think of it as this is a ball, I am thinking, what is this experience? What is this phenomenon? It bounces. What is it? Smells like this funny smell, and it tastes interesting. And if I push it here, it does this. And if I push it there, it does that. And we rub it all over our body. I mean, we go through a period as infants of sensory motor exploration where we, all of us, build up a way of understanding energy. What is ball but an encoding of an energetic phenomenon? And everything in our entire language vocabulary is learned experience we have constructed through experimentation. So what I do in the book is encourage, go right back to what everyone knows, you know, not some fancy scientific explanation of energy, because I think energy is not generic. It's not like these electron, proton, neutron things. That's a nice description, but that isn't what I perceive energy. It almost is like different flavors or different, you know, it's like colors.
So that's like one part of it, isn't it? That's like one flavor of it.
Right. It's consciousness itself. And so we're made of energy and fueled by it and organized by it. So this is our building blocks. And so what I do in the book is just very natural, everyday explorations. I build on what you already know, you know, in from everyday life experiences everyone has had, and then give a lot of explorations. I mean, I have a section called Play With It, where I suggest, okay, maybe let your hand go somewhere on your body it wants to go, and you don't have to think it, just let your hand go somewhere. And then tune in and maybe say, what color's in there? And shut your eyes and just visualize in your mind what color's there. And then ask, well, what color needs to be there right now, or what wants to be here? And then using your breath, kind of start moving the color that's there, transforming it, just using the breath. Or you might do the same exercise with rhythm or with shape or with gesture, pattern. So I show what are the building blocks of the language of energy, which is very multidimensional. And set up explorations for people to figure out, as a reader, how do I build up my own core vocabulary of energetic understanding? Because as I build a vocabulary, I'm encoding meaning. I'm saying, here's this little piece of meaning. You know, the color blue means something different to each of us. It's not a generic.
Yeah, you know, I really like what you're talking about here, because it really taps into, I think, how we can experience the world. And it's not just about the structured experience, but just letting it happen. And I'm a musician. One thing that happens to me quite frequently is when I play music, and I play Indian classical music, I will see colors in my mind when I hear certain ragas or certain, basically, you know, scales within Indian classical music. I love how you're really expanding what all of us have experienced through our lives. I mean, a lot of us have experienced sound. We've experienced the joy of learning to do something for the first time, or just playing catch even. You know, I used to just play catch with myself, and just that luxury of just feeling the ball go up and come down, and just the enjoying the gravity around me. So what role does sound play in energy medicine?
Excellent question. And I want to preface my answer by saying that I don't believe you need a special psychic ability to perceive energies. I believe that the senses are our primary equipment for perceiving energy.
I think that's beautiful. Energy. Exactly.
And we can build on them. And, you know, so you have sound, what you hear, the ear picks up sound and the brain puts it together into understanding or interpretation. And you have inner sound. So if I say, shut your eyes a moment and just hear your mom's voice in your mind, most of us can kind of do that, or hear a song you really love. And some people, it's very vivid, and some it's just a vague sense. We have the inner hearing. We also have vision and inner vision. We have touch and inner feeling. We have a big spectrum of perception that's built into the instrument that everybody uses all the time as their senses. So using sound for healing is building on what you, particularly if you have a love for sound, or you're really responsive, building on that to move energy. And I'm sure everybody's been stuck at a traffic light and someone comes up right next to them playing really loud music with a pounding beat. And you feel your energy getting faster and faster, and, you know, kind of bigger and bigger as that beat goes on. Music moves us, and music calms us. It can soothe us. So music can be used as a healing tool consciously to move energies. And people do it all the time. They come home from work and they put on a song that really puts them in the mood they want to be in. And you might say, well, that's just emotional, but it is a whole body energetic reality that then influences your blood pressure. It influences the physical instrument, as well as your mind and your emotions, and even opens the door for spirit to get in. If you're after a busy day, you don't have a lot of room for spirit to get into your awareness. Putting on a beautiful piece of music, or using a rhythm, just beating a rhythm on your knee or on your heart, or wherever it feels good to tap a rhythm. I don't want to say beat, let's say tap a rhythm. That shifts energy. Energy is a very movable force, and almost everything influences it. So why not get conscious about what we're doing that can positively influence energies in the direction of well-being?
What I love about what you're saying is it's really just about experience. And I can't even impress enough how I love the fact that you're saying you don't have to be a psychic. You don't have to be specially trained. You just have to just enjoy being human and enjoy, you know, the senses as they come. So, you know, I do talk to my patients about this. I tell them that it's not just about smelling the roses, but you can feel the sun, you can hear the wind, you can touch the flower petals. I think that there's just so many other factors in here that I like how you also just talk about the practicality of it. So now, how do you use this with someone that may be struggling with, say, you know, a lack of motivation, or, you know, these are the areas where Western medicine can really struggles in channeling someone to feel that motivation again, or if they have a loss of desire in something, or if they lose hope, or if they feel really stressed. How do you think would be practical ways that people could start to re-channel positive energy into their body?
You know, there's a sort of immediate answer and a bigger answer. And I'll try to make the bigger answer smaller so it's not too long. The immediate answer is, it's that in your environment, there is always something that can animate your spirit. And if not, you need to get out of that environment into a different one. So if you look around your room, if you're in a room in your home, is there anything that you can connect with in that moment that brings you something other than the despair you're feeling or the lack of motivation. And it might be just looking at a beautiful color. It might be picking up a book and reading one line and seeing what it stimulates in you. It might be, you know, a statue. I've got a little statue of a turtle. It might be that I pick it up. I might bring it and put it on my heart to bring some object that embodies an energy into your field to see if it can influence it. That doesn't take a lot of motivation. If you're really lost motivation, get yourself outside into nature, and that's probably even better. That recharges us more quickly. But the other thing is sometimes we just have to hook onto someone else's energy to get out of lack of motivation. So it might be putting on a comic and watching something funny for 10 minutes and then seeing if it shifted. Often when we lack motivation, it's because we set up conditions where we say, in order to get there, I have to do this, and I'm not willing to do this, so I can't get anywhere. And so flip it around and say, well, what am I willing to do? You know, am I willing to go take a bath? Am I willing to do nothing but enjoy it and not beat myself up to say, I'm going to set my watch. I'm going to do half an hour of no obligation for anything. I'm going to go towards the lack of motivation rather than fight it. So things like lack of motivation are because we're trying to enforce something external rather than listening to the internal guidance system that fuels our energy systems. And we do have a mechanism in us that I call the gatekeeper that keeps the gates of self. It says, this is me, this is not me, this can come in, this has to stay out. It's our immune system, physical, energetic, emotional, spiritual immune system. But the other thing the gatekeeper does, besides sort of keeping the gates, is it decides what's going to get fueled. It triages between the heart, the lungs, the digestive system, the physical systems, and the mental and emotional systems. So the longer answer is, as we cultivate our relationship with our gatekeeper, our relationship with its cosmic partner, which is radiance or spirit, and I talk about all this in my book, so, you know, hopefully you're not going, what's she talking about? You know, I do introduce all this stuff. As we cultivate our relationship with the mechanisms in us that cause us to be motivated and stop always working with external rules and external programs of self-improvement, then we get to just inhabit ourselves and be a self and evolve rather than accomplish. I think that when we set out to become something and we're not in the present of being who we are, then we miss the opportunity to inhabit ourselves and evolve from there. We're kind of applying external rules. And most people's bodies, minds, or spirits will balk at that. They didn't read the book and they don't really want to do the 7-step program that's been laid out to make you a better person. You know, part of it is just you're a good enough person right now. How can you support that and cultivate it and expand on it?
Yeah, it's so easy to get caught in the past or what's going to happen in the future, that I can safely say that many folks will forget to just enjoy the present. And then you think back and you say, oh, I should have enjoyed the present, but now it's the past. But you always have that opportunity to start enjoying the present now. How do you think your journey with energy medicine or your deeper journey in energy medicine has changed your approach to your health?
I was highly motivated to explore energy medicine because I had some chronic illness when I was younger. And it was basically that I was born into a family that was very mind-oriented. It was very intellectual or thought-oriented. And there wasn't a lot of attention to the care and feeding of the body. Well, overfeeding, but not real nutritional supports. And so I was out of sorts with my body from a fairly young age. I had some traumas. I had some things happen that kind of really knocked me out of partnership with my own body. And I'd look at it and think, where's the user's manual? I do not get this thing. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And in the search to try to sort of not always so gently take care of myself, I was guided over time to find some healing modalities, and my inner teachers kind of came in and said, we're going to train you. And I think I was a bit of a fixer-upper. I mean, I had, you know, digestive issues, and I had, you know, you don't need to know the whole list, but I had an impressive list. And I'd go to a medical doctor and he or she would say, well, there's nothing medically wrong with you. And I think, how can that be? I'm exhausted. My tummy aches. I can't digest food, you know, I've got headaches. And they'd say, oh, no, there's nothing wrong with you, and imply it was emotional. So I went for therapy, and the therapist would say, well, this isn't an emotional issue. Your body's out of whack.
What you're saying here is so commonly, I think we've recognized it too as integrative practitioners, that there's many of these symptoms that you mention, these imbalances that we so speak about, that conventional medicine isn't able to give a diagnosis to until it goes way out of balance. And so I really appreciate you talking about that. I didn't mean to jump in there, but it just resonated so much with even the Ayurvedic approach, or I'm sure many approaches that look at energy at more subtle changes can really start to key in on these kind of imbalances that are very, that leave the patient frustrated when right. they try to go the conventional route.
Absolutely. And so what happens is that body, mind, and spirit speak through symptoms, they speak through events, they speak through sensations, they speak through drawing our attention to something. They even speak through creating little crisis or problems that we have to solve, because then we have to marshal the resources to change something. And if we don't get the message, if we aren't participating in that communication, the body shouts louder. And it turns into chronic illness. It turns into the wearing down of certain parts in the instrument, in the body. It turns into chronic illness and named disease, or sometimes it becomes acute illness if it really sneaks up on us. So that happened to me, that even though I kept going for help, I kept not getting it, or getting kind of false diagnosis, or being told there's nothing wrong with you. Well, what was wrong with me was a lot of right stuff that was missing. I didn't know how to love my body. I didn't know how to take care of her in a responsible manner. I didn't know how to be present. You know, it was not comfortable. I would kind of go out of my body into other dimensions. And I was in the realm of my mind and imagination a lot, which was great, but my body was mad. It was mad about it, and it was talking to me. You know, so the question, what's wrong and how do we fix it, is the wrong question. We really need to ask what's needed and how can we address it or cultivate it. It culminated for me in 15 years of daily migraines, where I just really could barely, you know, I did work through some of those years, but it was painful. Well, I was teaching at a university. I was doing a lot of stuff, but it wasn't always the best work I could have done, because I was in chronic pain. And finally, I found my way to a complementary healer who did applied kinesiology, and to opening up the notion that we're not a fixed instrument that's either broken or working, that we are a mass of energies and we can start to participate. And so I started to learn as I worked with a practitioner who was helping me heal. I found out, oh, hey, I can see energies. I can perceive them. That's cool. And, you know, I can hear them. I can see them in colors, whatever. And then as I got better, once I healed, the practitioner said, would you come work with other patients I have? Because that's cool what you did. And I found out I could do it for others. And it just took off as a career I wasn't intending. So I kind of got pulled into it. And people do. I mean, the illness pulls us into things we wouldn't do normally. It's a kind of dubious gift, right? You don't like the illness part, but sometimes we don't have the right to call in sick from our work. We only have the right we can't call in well. We can only call in sick. So if we have to get sick to cultivate wellness, we do. But it's not the best way to do it.
You know, they do talk about how sometimes in times of unwellness or suffering, you do have that opportunity to try to find happiness and try to find wellness. You try to, you know, not have to suffer too much or try to prevent it. But Ellen, this has been wonderful. It's been really nice to hear your perspective on energies. And I think it really is common, not just common sense. I just want to say it's common energy, you know, that this is there and it fuels our body in so many ways. Ellen, so you've written the book, The Language Your Body Speaks. How do people find you online, or how can they find the book online?
Okay, well, the book is available through just about any bookstore that is shipping books these days. So it's very, you just put in The Language Your Body Speaks, maybe my name, Ellen Meredith, and it'll come up. My website is ellenmeredith.com, and my name is spelled M-E-R-E-D-I-T-H, so ellenmeredith.com.
Thank you so much, Ellen, and we really appreciate your time today. And I can say one thing, I have got a lot more positive energy.
Great. Well, I do too. Thanks for the conversation, Raja.
This is the Holistic Health Podcast, brought to you by Jivon, where we believe that cultivating a healthy ecosystem unique to you is important to living vital and living well. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to our channel, and be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And visit us at jivom.com. check out our membership options to take your health to the next level.